From the Schmoes No Network Studios in Los Angeles, California, it's time for Guilty Movie Pleasures. And now, here are your hosts, two of the guiltiest cats I know, Josh McCouga and Steve Simone.
What's up, Schmoville?
Coming in hot today, Steven.
Dude, this movie's awesome.
It is awesome.
And yeah, I'm glad I got to see it.
Yeah. Is this the first time you saw it?
Yeah, and all my friends were like, you've never seen this movie.
And that's what everybody in, like, JTE, Christian, everybody's like, you've never seen Army of Darkness?
Yeah, people would get mad at me. I don't even know how we could be friends.
And Bruce Campbell, who is maybe the greatest actor of our time.
I will say this. I don't think anybody ever has been able to combine so many wonderful elements that make somebody compelling to watch,
right,
and fun to watch, like Bruce Campbell. Like, because you know he's in on the joke, but you believe that, but you also believe that he's in on the action. And it's a very tricky balance that I've never seen captured like this before.
I mean, it's so underrated, because this movie, this is the definition of a guilty pleasure movie, really.
I think so. I still, honestly, I don't know. I just like awesome movies.
Yeah, but this movie's awesome.
So when it's Schmoville awesome. Recommends a movie for us to watch, I'm like, all right, if it's awesome or not, we'll soon find out.
Right.
This movie's awesome.
This movie is awesome. And the reason that we've rushed this is because we were at Kamikaze a couple weeks ago.
Did you see Stan Lee?
I didn't see Stan Lee, unfortunately. He does all those panels and there's like a huge line and we just didn't have the time to wait in the line.
Yeah.
But so we had this panel and one of our younger Schmovillians stood up and he said, I'm sitting there on the panel, he says, this question is for the wild man.
Tremendous.
It's amazing. Finstock really got a giggle out of that one. And there's the movie poster.
Even look at the poster.
I mean, fantastic.
Trapped in time. Yeah. Surrounded by evil. Low on gas, buddy. He can't get back. My dad, by the way, loves Bruce Campbell.
Does he?
Bird Notice is on. It's a good one. Sam Axe goes back in time with his Navy SEAL pals. And they kick some zombie ass.
Oh, my God. It's so good.
So what did the kid ask
you? So he said, this question is for the wild man. I thought you guys would do a Halloween episode. Why haven't you done Army of Darkness yet?
Mm.
I said, I've never heard of it. I've never seen it.
And was there just a gasp in the hall?
Pin drop silence. I said, but you know what? You came all the way to the Kamikaze and you want to see it. So said me and Steve will do Army of Darkness. So that's why we did Army of Darkness. And we just watched it
On
the big screen.
It
was fantastic.
Great. Dude, it was such a fun movie.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was entertaining, fun. I'm a huge Three Stooges guy.
Ugh.
So there was a huge Stooges influence on this thing.
I think the beautiful, so if you were going to put together in a genre of things that this movie was,
it's its own thing. Yes. Yeah. It's outside of definition.
It's
don't put your bounds on me artistic interpretation.
What's that from?
I don't know.
It's just a really good Cockney accent.
I don't know.
Man, you should start doing some British voiceover or something.
Maybe.
Got to.
I'm in London.
Oh, hello. Yes. Call him. Thank you. Appreciate that. We're going to start having the intern call in.
Because
he's running the Facebook page.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, we want to call him and talk about the movie a little bit. JTE had seen this, and he was a big fan. JTE, you want to chime in real quick?
Yeah, I grew up with these movies. I love Bruce Campbell. I actually met him at a signing.
Was he nice?
He was super cool. I went up to him and I said, dude, I used to watch Evil Dead and Army of Darkness as a kid all the time. And he's like, I told him I watched with my cousin a lot. He's like, call your cousin right now.
No way.
Yeah, so he puts me to side because there's a huge line of people signing the books. And he's like, call your cousin. So I call my cousin. He's not picking up. And he's like, keep calling him. See if we get him on the line. I want to talk to him. So finally my cousin gets on the phone.
What? What do you want to talk about, dude?
And I was like, dude, I got Bruce Campbell here. And Bruce Campbell takes my phone and he goes, hey, I heard you watch my movies a lot growing up. He's like, I got something really important to tell you. Are you listening? My cousin's like, yeah. He's like, are you sure you're paying attention? And then my cousin's like, yeah. And he just hangs up on him. And then he's like, wait till your cousin calls back. And my cousin didn't call back for some reason. And then he was like, all right, tell your cousin sorry. But he was the nicest guy.
That is
cool. Yeah, he sounds awesome.
Dude, and he's so good in these movies.
So good.
This might be the first Bruce Campbell movie I've ever seen.
Here's the thing. I remember seeing Spider-Man that Sam Raimi also directed, and Bruce Campbell had a cameo in that.
Yeah.
And I remember the entire movie theater going nuts.
Yeah.
They're like, oh my God! God!
In the first Spider-Man?
Yeah.
What did he play?
I think he played
Spider-Man?
A waiter or something.
He's
like
in
that.
All three Spider-Man.
He is, right? And I remember the first time he had it, the place went crazy, and my buddy Mike Black loves these movies.
Okay.
And he was the first person. He was like, you've never seen this! Yeah. Like, he literally didn't want to be friends with me anymore. And then I haven't had the chance. Like, I'm busy. I do stuff. And yeah. I sometimes do this where there are certain things in life that I know I'm going to enjoy.
Right.
But I don't it's delayed gratification because sometimes life gets really sad.
Yeah.
And you need something to cheer you up. And I do – it is a trait I got. I remember when I was little, my dad sometimes would buy baseball cards and didn't let me know was baseball cards in the house.
Yeah.
And I'd come home and after a stinky day at school and I'd be like, oh, there's no point in living. What about baseball cards? And I'd be like, solo pack, Larry Boa on the top.
Oh, man.
So I do that now with – certain movies and things like that. Like I wait until like it's kind of like the fire extinguisher break in case of emergency.
Yes.
And this was one of those things, man. I wish I had discovered these movies earlier.
Yeah.
But I'm kind of happy I didn't because now I could rewatch this movie 1,000 times.
Oh, it's incredible.
Fact, I really want to go back and rewatch it again because there was a lot of jokes in there that I didn't get. It's like a great piece of stand-up when you first watch it. You're like laughing so hard and paying it. You don't pick up on everything.
That was like the 18th time I watched the Bill Burr, his first HBO special. I was like, this just gets better each time. And it's kind of like – I look at it a lot. You know when you were a kid and you used to go on family trips and you would stop at the Turnpike and there was a food vendor you'd never heard of before?
Makes it the best. You have to try it.
You got to try it. Yeah. And you haven't. You're like, oh my God, Roy Rogers makes a chicken sandwich.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah. Look, their french fries are thicker. Yeah. Their fries are thicker here.
I've never even seen it.
And there's a salad bar.
With seeds?
Whatever happened to salad bars? They used to be in every restaurant.
Pizza Hut and Shakey's Pizza are the only places you see salad bar. And Sizzler, I'm sure, has a salad bar, right?
Let's find a salad bar next week after the show.
Yeah, we should. There's the place.
It's got wings on it, buddy.
We had a place called Eaton Park in Pittsburgh.
Perfect.
And Eaton Park, is he on the phone? Eaton Park had a lunch buffet. It had buffet all the time, but it also had like the greatest salad bar of all time. That's besides the point.
With a hot bar?
The hot bar. There was.
Garlic breadsticks.
Those red lights that shine on everything that just somehow heat it.
Oh, the greatest.
The micro, we're not really sure, but it keeps it warm, and I don't care.
And I'm proud to be an American. Oh, by the way, today is Veterans Day. Before we get to any BS, I just want to say thank you to everybody serving who has served and all the families that support them. God bless you always. Thank you.
The guys who carry the real boomstick, we wouldn't be here without you.
Yeah, we couldn't sit around and have laughs talking about awesome movies if it wasn't for all the people out there in uniform.
Both of my grandfathers, one of my grandmothers.
Wow.
She was in the Women's Army Corps. Bunch of uncles. I had an uncle that was maybe at his height 5'2 and was a tail gunner on a bomber.
Wow.
Flew 51 missions in World War II.
Get out of here.
Flew 25 like in Memphis Belle. They came back. He did another 25, brought him back for two more, and then the war ended. He was never even shot or anything like that.
Oh.
Dude, like an American legend.
Yeah, that's a legend. That's
And then he went and worked in a steel mill in Pittsburgh for 30 years, and then, just came back. Nothing, no biggie. He was just a badass.
And
talking about badass Bruce Campbell in this movie.
He was a
We got Cody Hall, a.k.a. Upham, a.k.a. Agent Cody Banks, a.k.a. the man that runs the social network, a.k.a. the guy that just posts pictures of Steve saying, write this caption.
Getting hype, nobody high-fiving me back. Look at Steve's mustache.
a.k.a. putting in movies that I've never even seen before, asking people if they're guilty or not guilty, and then me just posting a question mark. Cody, welcome to the program.
And thank you for everything. Thank you, Cody.
Oh, Cody.
That might have been the best introduction I've ever received in my entire life.
That's awesome.
Good. I'm glad you like it. So, Cody, have you seen Army of Darkness?
Yes, this is actually the only of the original Evil Dead movies that I've actually ever seen. So I was very excited you guys finally agreed to do this.
Nice.
It's such a great movie. What did you think?
It's dude, there's so many weird moments in there. Like the scene where there's a little mini Ashes fighting him. It felt like a scene from that crappy Jack Black movie, The Gulliver's Travels, whatever.
Yeah. Oh, and dude, then, it was so awesome.
But that's like the Three Stooges moment of the whole thing, because they're all like little Three Stooges, and they're poking him in the eyeballs, and he's like getting poked in the butt with a fork and overreacting.
Dude, wasn't it awesome when they first came out of the mirror?
And it's amazing.
Yeah, so cool.
Yeah. When did you first see this movie? Do you remember how old you were? I mean, you're a very young dude. What are you, like 22, 23?
I'm only 8 years old.
That's why he's so good.
He's very well spoken.
I saw it maybe like 5 years ago, so I guess I was like 17 or 18 at the time.
Okay.
Yeah, it was definitely, I had no idea what it was. I was on AMC, I think, And I just think with the Army of Darkness thing, I could not look away. It was amazing.
Yeah, yeah.
That is a great way to describe that, Cody. Yeah, as soon as you start watching this, you can't turn away.
No, definitely not. Yeah. Have you seen other Bruce Campbell movies?
No, I just lost all respect probably right now. But no, I haven't. I've seen his cameos in the Spider-Man movies.
Okay. Right now.
No.
Yeah. Nicely done. If you could give this movie a genre, what would you give it? If you were gonna like
genre, I guess horror comedy doesn't really count, huh?
Well, horror comedy counts, I guess.
Yeah, it's like horror comedy, action, sci-fi, spoof, time travel, sci-fi, karate movie,
karate. What did you say? Campy.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll give this.
Yeah,
campy.
Totally.
Good stuff. Well, Code, thanks for calling in, buddy. Keep up the great work on the website. I know the fans wanted to have you on the show every week, so let's make this a regular thing.
Oh, that'd be awesome.
Every week you call in, we'll talk the movie. And, yeah, buddy, Army of Darkness, take out your boomstick and go make some go wreck some havoc, man.
All right. Thanks, guys.
See you, buddy.
All right, brother. Bye. Hey, JTE, you want to give us the background on the first two movies and let's break down the plot of this thing?
Yeah.
Wow. Okay. First of all, it's really weird because the first movie is called Evil Dead.
Okay. Yes.
Bruce Campbell's in it, right?
And that's the scariest one, right?
It's the scariest one. It's basically a gore fest. It's just pure gore and some horror. Okay. And it's super low budget. And I want to say Bruce Campbell's the star. It's more of an ensemble. It's like a bunch of kids at a cabin.
Okay.
Okay.
Now, a couple of years later, they came out with Evil Dead 2, which, even though it's called Evil Dead 2, it's really a remake of the first film in a way.
Hysterical.
Because
he
got a bigger budget, and it's like Bruce Campbell going back is now the lead instead of it being an ensemble.
Okay.
And it's a little bit different story. It's almost like American Horror Story.
Okay.
You got the same actors, but you put them in like a different situation.
Okay.
Except for you're putting them in the same situation, and you're just doing a whole bunch of different crap.
Now, did they all start with the Book of the Dead theme?
Yes. Basically, in the original, they go to this cabin. They rent a cabin in the woods.
Okay.
And
is this what Cabin in the Woods spoofed?
For sure.
Some of
it.
Okay.
And they in the basement, they find a Book of the Dead that the lady who owns the house is like a historian. He goes around like Indiana Jones grabbing relics, and he found his Book of the Dead, and one of the idiots, college kid, starts reading from it.
Christ.
And he awakens the evil.
It was the Ellis of the crew.
Hey guys.
Now the first one's decent, but the second one is by far the best of all the movies.
It's even better than this.
Yeah, and if you're lost a little bit in this one, part two will fill in some of the holes.
So you think second is better than this one?
Oh, second one is the best.
We gotta watch it.
Well, I gotta watch it now.
All right. Well, this one was awesome because it opens up and you see
like a flat, kind of like a little recap, like previously on Army of Darkness.
Yeah, and he's back in like medieval Europe. I think he said it was 1500 AD.
No, 1300.
Okay, and he's a slave.
Yeah.
And then he's with this other guy he doesn't know, and Merlin knows he's the chosen one, but nobody else knows he's the chosen one. So they're going to throw him.
By the way, if you're a Seinfeld fan, the guy that plays Merlin, or I don't think his name is Merlin.
No, I think it was.
It was Merlin?
Yeah.
Okay. So. Was it Merlin, JT? Can you look that up? The actor, I don't want to call you out. I just don't know if it was Merlin.
Who was he on Seinfeld?
He was Mr. Pitt on Seinfeld. He played Elaine's boss, Mr. Pitt.
Oh, yeah.
He just had a tone like I was 7, and I'm like, there's Pop-Pop. And you're like, you know when little kids get confused and they see somebody that looks like somebody
when a priest walked down the aisle and was like, that's Jesus. And it's like,
Jesus. Klaus, buddy, but
no cigar. So, the guy that played Merlin...
Or whatever. The guy, Mr. Pitt.
Well, so, yeah, he's Mr. Pitt in Seinfeld. So, he knows he's the chosen one. But before we go, the Book of Dead, which was got me, it's made of skin and written in blood.
Yeah, scary.
Gross and scary. And then Ellis comes in and he starts reading out.
Drunk like, Ellis.
Hey,
everybody, my voice is really deep.
I've got a real good voice for radio.
So good.
We love making fun of that kid. So, so then they go, they're in this medieval time again.
And it just shows up like in olden times.
Yeah.
Remember? And he's in like thing, cause his hand's not there and he's in that stockade thing and they're walking him through the desert.
And we both made the comment of he has a stub, but the stub is somehow locked into that stockade when the only thing stopping the other hand is the hand, like
yeah,
the width
weird.
Of the hand.
But then I said maybe there was so much pressure put on the nub and you were like, it slipped out pretty easy. And I was like, just shut up and enjoy the movie. Let's have some laughs. And then remember what happens? That other bad guy king, who's not really a bad guy, was it Henry the other guy? Was
his name Henry or the Red?
Yeah, something
Henry
like that.
Yeah.
And then, cause he was at war with the people that have them Yeah, capture them.
Yeah.
And then they're going to put them, remember, they're going to put them in the pit?
Yeah, the pit of darkness, or the, basically like the pit in Star
And then
Wars.
Hot chick throws a rock at his head, but you could tell she wanted to make out with him. Yeah, just like in third grade. She was like, I don't like you.
Yeah, like.
But you do.
I broke Katie Newcamp's My Little Pony, but I really wanted to make out with her in second grade. She was super hot. We played Foursquare and I like slammed her face with the ball and I felt really bad about it.
And
but
she was like, this magic moment.
Why do you hate Katie so much? I don't hate Katie. I just want to
make out with her.
Cakewalk, Baker Caper.
Because remember, then the one guy gets thrown in the pit and nothing but blood comes out?
Yeah, and then he falls in the pit, but he survives. I don't know, like, if the first guy.
Because he's a badass.
Yeah, because Bruce, I mean, he carries the boomstick.
Yes.
But that doesn't, we don't know about that yet.
Yeah.
He fights some zombies or witches or just creatures.
Yeah, and then all the spikes are going to come towards him in the pit, and you're like,
don't tell me that you haven't thought that that would be the ultimate, like, escape scenario. Spikes are coming at you. And you got to somehow find out a way to get out of it.
And he does.
And he does. I personally would just be like, ah, crap, spikes are coming.
Yeah, it was awesome. And he got out of it, and then, like, everybody respected him.
Yeah, as soon as he popped out of that pit because he rode the thing. Oh, we forgot about that beautiful scene in the pit when he takes his belt like Indiana Jones bullwhip and whips it around the chain because that's going to work.
Yeah, so cool.
Just awesome. I mean, we should probably
try. Yeah, because remember the Merlin guy throws him the chainsaw?
Yeah.
And he starts doing damage.
And he's got, it just falls perfectly right onto his hand because they were meant to be.
Yeah, it was hysterical.
All right, listen, if you could have, I'm going to give you three options. If you could have
the
hook from Captain Hook,
ooh,
the chainsaw, or that crazy hand that he makes.
Crazy hand.
You're taking
crazy hand.
Okay.
Because the chainsaw would get uncomfortable after a while.
Yeah, like you, but you can cut meat real well. You got a fork.
Yeah, it would be awesome for certain things.
Yes.
Like zombie apocalypse, it'd be great.
Yeah.
The hook would be really neat too because chicks would dig it. Like, you know, the adventurous ones.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
when you're in a bar
fetish
and stuff.
Girl is like, ooh, hook girl.
Yeah, but if you had like a monster steel hand that you could just smash people.
Yeah.
Could you imagine if you put them in the claw like the old WWF?
Oh, man.
And you had that. You would. Yeah. Yeah, that's the one I would choose.
A good massage, a lady massage, like you're working the feet.
Plus, you could still eat normal.
Yeah.
Which one would you choose?
I'm going to go chainsaw.
Really?
Simply because. I, you know, like you can take it off and you can just be stump guy, but then when you really want to get crazy.
Yeah, but how would you go to the gym and stuff? Drive a car.
Oh man, a lot of one-arm push-up. That's a good call. Maybe I should go steel hands.
Steel hands, bro. It's the only way.
Or in
And then when you were rocking out to like Judas Priest, you could just rock the steel hands.
Or in the remake, and we reverse the shot in the remake of Predator and I grab Schwarzenegger's or Apollo's arm and just. And
with the steel hands?
Yes.
That'd be pretty sweet.
Yeah. So he gets the belt, he zips up out of the pit, everybody's like, da da da, and then they go and like try and take him out, and then that's when he just like shoots the shotgun.
Yeah, because he didn't have a shotgun, but then somehow he hases it.
He hases it.
Dude, sometimes when I watch movies like this, it makes me talk like I'm 4 years old again.
Here's my boomstick!
I yelled that in bed the other night. It went really, really well. I don't put condoms on my boomstick, ladies. No.
There were so many great, great quotable lines in this movie.
He is the king of... If I thought that Commando was the king of one-liners, no. Bruce Campbell is the king of one-liners.
Dude, one of my favorites was coming up. So then he frees the other king.
Yes.
He's in charge, kind of.
Right.
And there's all these chicks feeding him grapes and wine, mm-hmm. and then the chick that threw a rock at
his
head.
He's got the obligatory giant turkey leg.
Come on. Oh, so hysterical.
What animal does that even come from?
I don't know. They have this at Disneyland, too.
Do they?
Yeah, almost that
big. It's got to be some sort of, you know, non-GNO or whatever they call genetically enhanced beings. I want that turkey leg.
Yeah, it looked delicious.
Ham hock, whatever you got. Go ahead.
Yeah, remember he drinks the wine?
Oh, yeah. It's good.
And he smashes it because they make his awesome hands.
And he eats the grapes without even any consideration of the stems. You know when you eat grapes, when you see, you got to eat them one at a time because you don't want the stems. He just
not
took
him.
Like a big bite out of the grapes. No, he's not scared. Gives
but
it
then
zero.
Remember what happens when the hot chick that threw a rock at his head once, then he was like, first you try to kill me, now you want to kiss me or whatever. And then she says all this nice stuff and he disses her. But then you remember he grabs her and what's he say right before he makes out with her?
Give me some sugar, baby.
JTE!
Killing it!
Oh my god, that was like Mitch Hedberg timing.
You just smashed that, homie.
Let's just drop the mic and end it now. Nobody needs to know anything about the movie. We're done. Give me some sugar, baby.
Oh, it's such a great line.
Now,
I'm going to say that all the time with my girlfriend.
Oh, I can't. I'm going to do that tonight. I don't care if I meet the most ugly girl I can find. I'm just giving her, give me some sugar, baby.
The best.
So then now they're off to the mission and they got to go find the necromancer. No,
yeah,
that's
because
he needs to get his book back
so he can go back and.
Right,
he
that's
was like,
the law.
Yeah.
Merlin tells him that.
Yeah.
Do we have a name on Merlin yet? JT. No,
I'm pretty sure it is. But okay, so the plot setup is, so this guy from the past, I mean, this guy from the future goes back to the past.
Mm-hmm.
Somehow the wizard guy is like, in prophecy, we knew somebody was coming. There's this evil on the planet, that both Henry the bearded guy.
Henry Redbeard.
Yeah, and the other dude, they're fighting separately.
Okay.
Right?
Yes. But they're warring factions, but they're all fighting the common enemy, which is this army of darkness.
Yes.
Basically.
Yeah. But then Bruce Campbell's like, hey, man, my work here is done.
Right.
Just get me the book so I can go back to my home.
Right. So, and they tell him where they have to go. So they take off on like on horseback and charge for the book. And he learns from Merlin, aka Mr. Pitt, that he has to recite these three wars before he can take the book.
Yeah.
And he's being all cocky, Bruce Campbell, like, listen, old man, you don't need to tell me.
So funny.
I'll pump my own gas, you old bag.
So funny.
Yeah. Turn signal. Go ahead, JT.
He's listed on IMDb as wise man.
Oh, so Wiseman. Merlin's close enough.
I'm pretty sure he said Merlin.
Listen, anybody that is bearded and a wizard is either Merlin or Gandalf. And in this situation, it's Merlin. Okay. We'll give it to you. High five. Consolidation high five. There we go.
Hey, so, buddy, he does look like your pop-pop. I can't get so bummed out
when it's not Pop Pop. Yeah. I can't wait till my nephew's old enough to like see a guy with a beard and be like, "Daddy," I'm like, "Oh, son of a." So he takes off for the necrophilia book, and sorry, I shouldn't have gone there. That was all I can think of. So
turn to page 69, and all the kids are just like.
So he gets it, and then they get there, and obviously the horses get spooked, and it's like that obligatory, whenever you get to, even though it's daytime, whenever you get to someplace spooky, fog or smoke is just billowing through the trees.
That's how it's scary.
And all of his buddies are like, hey, we're going to double back. Bruce Campbell's like, I got this. Don't worry about it.
I'm not a fraidy cat.
And Merlin's like, don't forget the words. And he's like, hey, listen, old man, shut it. Go back to your old folks home and get a rascal scooter. Get off your horse.
Rascal scooter.
So.
Most insurances cover it. Remember the infomercial? old people checking their mail.
It's all in Del Boca Vista.
Oh, the best.
They're all Merlins. So he gets to the necro book.
Well, first he's got to fight all that stuff before he even gets to the book, remember? And then that's when he goes in and he's running, and then he goes into the windmill for some reason.
Oh, right.
And then I don't know how this happens, but then remember?
He's cursed now, so he like runs back, and he gets cursed somehow by like a thing in the woods, and then he gets to the windmill. Or is the windmill cursed or something?
I don't know. I just know then he's getting attacked, and then there's little versions of him. Remember, he smashes the mirror?
So he's got like five or six little annoying versions?
Yeah, little mini – the ones Cody said were awesome because they were awesome. Yeah. They come out of the mirror, and then he fights all of them.
Yeah.
And then as he's fighting them, you see an eyeball on his shoulder.
Right, and then a new Bruce Campbell pops out.
Yeah, like Siamese twins.
And then they
separate. Yeah, and then they battle to the death.
And then he thinks he kills him. He throws him in – he kills him. He chops him up with the chainsaw, which is miraculous. He made its back right to him because he didn't have it. He just had the steel hand.
Yeah.
I guess he was carrying the chainsaw all along. Yeah. Chops him up into pieces, throws him in the thing, and then this head's like, I'm not dead. And he's like, you got something on your face, and he throws dirt on it.
Yeah, that was great, hysterical. And then he goes to get the book.
Right.
And then there's three of them.
There's three books, obviously. It's sort of like you have three choices in girls on Tinder, right? And you're like, swipe left, swipe left, swipe right. But he swipes all of them right first because he doesn't know which one to choose. And the first two give him herpes and probably clap. And then he gets to the third book.
Yeah, there's a lot of laughs. There's a lot of slapstick laughs in this whole second act of the movie.
Because the first book, he falls into like a vacuum.
Yeah, there's so many funny things.
He gets popped out. His face gets all weird. It's like Large Marge. His face is all banged up.
One of the best laughs I've ever had in history of my life.
Can you do the Large
Marge?
And then the second one has teeth and it bites him.
Yep.
He throws that one away. So then he figures, all right, third time's a charm.
Yes.
But he doesn't remember the words because he's
so
a cocky
funny
jerk.
How he does it, too. Yeah. He remembers two of the words, just not the third one.
Which is so John McCook, because my dad is really bad with names. This was a while back. My cousin had just gotten married, and my dad forgot her husband's name, and we see him in an ice cream parlor.
Oh, the best.
And my dad's like, Ben, Josh, what is Julie's husband's name? And we weren't at the wedding, so we didn't
know.
I'm
seven, bro. Whatever. What do you want from me?
He's like, Julie, fashion.
Hey, I would have been like, hey, buddies.
Yeah. My dad tried the name. It botched. He looked at Ben and I. And we're like, we got to get out of here.
Run. This is too uncomfortable.
We'll take seven Rocky Roads. Get out.
So. Yeah, because that's what happens. He was like, Mo, Larry. And then.
It was like Nikto, Noctis, Frangelico.
Yeah, I don't know.
And yeah, and he just goes
all
like,
in Latin.
Right? And then he just takes the book.
And unbeknownst to him, he comes back to the castle and the Merlin bearded wise man guy was like, did you say everything exactly? He's like, hey, I might have not gotten every syllable right, but here's your damn book. Send me back. You said if I bring you the book, you'd send me back. And he was like, you dumb dumb. Now the dead are rising. And then you see bad Bruce Campbell come out of the grave. And now all the skeletons are coming to battle. And then the winged demon lady takes his hot girlfriend. And now he's like, oh, I can't go back and talk. I can't go back to where I belong.
Because I gotta help.
Because now
people.
I gotta help the chick that I like.
And I still haven't gotten laid from this chick and I gotta get laid.
Yeah. Well, I think he did. Because remember, he was like, that's just pillow talk, baby.
Oh, yeah.
So great.
Good one.
So now all the skeleton armies attacking what's left because all the people in the castle got scared and left.
And like I said, it looks like a Peter Gabriel video. It's all stop motion.
It was very funny. Very entertaining. This whole thing was just so, because I'm believing the action. I'm a little, not like scared, like a Frady Cat scared, but I'm like, okay, I can believe that there's an evil thing here. So it's a
evil
little bit
skeletons.
Horror movie, definite action movie. And the whole thing's funny and it's like tongue in cheek, but he's in on the joke, but it's not, it's just such a weird balance.
So now,
of different,
it's a great mesh of everything.
Yeah, it's tremendous.
You've got stop motion at this final one. You've got a legit medieval battle. You've got humans, and then these other skeletons show up, and they basically look like, you know, the people that had the skeleton pajamas that were just like glow in the dark.
Yeah, I always wanted those.
Those were the guys that were fighting in the thing, and they were showing just skeletons blowing up. And the boomstick comes in.
Well, the best, because you think, because you remember they're like, we don't have enough for an arm, and he was like, let's go get Henry, the guy I set free.
Yeah, Henry Redbeard.
Yeah, but then the movie, there's so many like different, when the bad guys start attacking and he takes out his chemistry book before then and gets all the weapons prepared with gunpowder, so fun.
Good.
But then there's like stuff like I didn't know if Henry the bearded guy was going to come back. I'm like, maybe it just wasn't in the budget.
Right.
So when it finally happened, it was awesome.
Awesome. Then you have like the greatest medieval battle of humans versus skeletons.
Yeah, it was so
time.
Cool because now they're attacking the castle from two fronts.
And it's, I mean, really just well crafted.
And then he comes out in the car.
Yeah. Oh, and then that car thing is awesome.
So badass.
It's the greatest car transformation since,
Grease Lightning. Go, go, go.
I was going to say, Animal House when they turn the car.
That's exactly, I'm going, what does this remind me of?
Yes. They turn it and he just starts
eating on the side.
Yeah, just starts eating. I mean, literally this one's eating, like turning bones.
Yeah, it's got like
dust.
A helicopter blade on it.
Yeah, and he's just chopping everybody up. Good
and he could have taken everybody out with that car, but then what happens?
Well, he starts running people over and then he gets out.
Cause he sees the hot chick.
Cause he sees the hot girl, but then she's a witch.
Yeah, and he was like, oh man.
Babe. And then
she ruined the car.
I know, ruined the car.
So now he's got to fight more
it's
old
like when
school.
My mom wrecked my dad's Pinto in 77.
Did that really happen?
Yeah, it was his first car and she wrecked it right after they got married. He's still a little bummed out about
I still
it.
Love you, babe.
You can only have Hondas from here on out, babe. So then, the car sees a little premature of an end, unfortunately. But I mean, now, that thing was going to take over the whole world.
Yeah, but now eventually. The bad guys are starting to kick a little ass. They're making ground now.
They're making their way back. They
but then what
the
happens? Remember?
Go ahead.
Henry and his buddies come in like the cavalry.
Like in that Braveheart when they start the back. Yes, yes. Come in like the cavalry. They start chopping up bones, firing, exploding arrows. Everything's exploding.
Yes.
Bing, bang, boom. Then he takes on evil Bruce Campbell. That's like
because you knew that was going to happen.
Had to have happened. You know, it's like in Double Impact when Jean-Claude Van Damme has to fight Jean-Claude Van Damme.
You know what's going to happen.
Like Link has to fight the Link Shadow in Link the video game, the sequel to Zelda. We all know how this
all this
ends.
Stuff's going
to
happen.
You got to fight the guy. Obviously, Bruce Campbell wins. He kisses
Luke, I am your father. And you're like, no.
Chops off the hand. Everything is coming together. Once he kills good Bruce Campbell, then his girl turns back to normal.
Yeah, when he kills bad Bruce Campbell.
That's what I mean, bad Bruce Campbell.
Yeah, so good.
And then she turns back, he's like, la la la. And then
the two kings are like, we should be buddies, let's form one kingdom.
Right, let's all just...
Happy ending.
Hit happy ending, but you know, in like the next 6 months, they're probably gonna have a disagreement, they're gonna fight again, and that just happens. It cuts back, he's back in the Safeway, the S-Mart, and there's that great scene when he tells the people that he's like, this is this kind of shotgun. Because he works at this S-Mart.
Which
I bet is a play on Service Merchandise Mart. Remember Service Merchandise Mart?
No.
What? You guys didn't have Service Merchandise?
No.
Service Merchandise in Pittsburgh, their catalog would come out and I would circle things I wanted for Christmas and give it to my mom, and everything I circled was like a different weapon. I was like, crossbow, different crossbow,
so
other
funny.
Crossbow.
Pellet gun. It's not a BB gun. It shoots pellets.
It shoots these yellow things that are going to get caught in the vacuum, mom. That's all that's going to happen.
Wasn't that the best when your mom was vacuuming and you're like, where's my G.I. Joe? No!
You should pick your stuff off the floor.
So funny.
He goes back. Everything's good. But then a witch attacks the S-Mart, and he goes back.
Because people kind of thought he was lying to make friends.
Yes. But he wasn't. And then the hot, slutty girl that was just happened to be in the S-Mart, he saves the day. They make out. And then what's he say at the end? Should we just end the show like this? Say it again, JT.
Hail to the king, baby.
Hail to the king, baby. So good. Steve, tell everybody where they can find you.
AwesomeSteve.com. Oh, Schmoville, new CD just out. It's called Remember This. It's on iTunes and all things good. Comedy. It's really – thank you guys for your support. We went to number two on the charts. Yeah, amazing. Awesome. So I hope you guys enjoy it.
Really. It's a really good time. So Schmoville, check that out. At Josh Macuga, subscribe, like, give us some comments on YouTube. Go to iTunes, rate, give us a bunch of stars. I know the link's been kind of shoddy. I'm not really sure.
Yeah, we're not technical. We're not. But please, you can hit us up on Twitter to recommend movies because this one was awesome.
We didn't love a recommendation before, but we loved this one. So keep recommending. Next week we're doing Flash Gordon, I believe.
Are we?
Yeah, we talked about that last week.
I love that movie.
So we're going to do Flash Gordon next week. As always, I think we should go out and just do a little Bruce Campbell. Hail to the king, baby.
Give me some sugar.
From producers Christian Harloff, Mark Ellis, and the entire Schmoes No Network crew, we would like to thank you for listening to Guilty Movie Pleasures. What's your pleasure? Special thanks to Kevin Undergaro and Maria Menounos, the author of Every Girl's Guide to Diet and Fitness, in stores now. To watch or listen to other Guilty Pleasure movie episodes or other episodes of the Schmoes No Network shows, get movie news, or to join the conversation, be sure to visit schmoesno.com. I'm the Pit Boss, and this has been a presentation of the Schmoes No Network.